Welcome to the Village Church Podcast. Thanks for stopping by and taking the time to listen. We've prayed that this podcast channel blesses and encourages the Village family. So lean in with an open heart, eager to grow, and enjoy the episode.
Thank you, Geraldine. That reading will, it's about leadership. It's about a new season for a body of people as they crossed the Jordan. And that reading will make sense as I bring an important announcement to the church. It's an important announcement to make, and it's the kind of announcement that we felt needed to be written down. So it's in front of me, and I'm just going to read it top to bottom. At the end of next month, on March the 31st, Bruce and Teresa will be releasing their leadership responsibilities at the Village Church after having served as the lead eldership couple since February 2008, a period of more than 14 years. Bruce met with the elders in December to let us know of their decision to resign and to begin the process of passing the baton on. Bruce and Teresa have prayed much about this, and they had sought the counsel of wise companions before coming to the conclusion that their season in the leadership of this church was coming to a close. As a team, we felt a sense of agreement about this decision, and we've been able to offer them our complete support, both in the decision and in the timing. We're in the very blessed place of being able to assure you as a church that there is no crisis or emergency driving any of this. As far as transitions of church leadership go, this is the good kind. What has happened is that two very godly people who have loved this church and served us with pure hearts have reached a personal crossroads and have made the courageous decision to step aside. Bruce has openly talked about some health challenges he has experienced over the last couple of years. And while efforts have been made to alleviate this, the recovery and health that we have been hoping and praying for have not come. This difficult reality led them to release the Village Church into its future without their leadership at the helm, and to be released themselves to take the time to discover their next season. These changes are a delicate and tender time for a church, and they're certainly a tender time for the Benjers. And we want to ask you all to make this matter a priority for your prayers. We want you to know that there is a wonderful sense of unity at a leadership level. God's so good to us. We are working well together. And traffic lights and COVID notwithstanding, we feel that the church is in good heart. Together, the team has reached out to dear friends of the Village Church. We've reached out to Marcus Herbert from Cornerstone Church in Johannesburg, and Paul Zanardo from Melbourne Lights Church, names that many of you will know and faces you come to mind immediately when I say them. And we're so grateful for the guidance and wisdom that they have been able to provide us as we work towards releasing Bruce and Teresa in March, and as we discern how to navigate the time of transition ahead of us. You're going to hear shortly from Marcus. He sent an audio recording just to greet the church and to say a few things, so you'll hear from him shortly. No doubt there will be questions on your minds, but one in particular bears mentioning: who will step into the vacuum that Bruce and Teresa will leave? We don't know the answer to that yet, but there is a settled sense among the eldership team that that person lies outside the current team. We are fasting and praying as a team about who that might be, and we need God's appointment, not ours, so it would mean a lot to us to know that the church was praying along with us too. Whenever you think of these things, turn your thoughts into prayers. We have a great assurance in this, that Jesus is the head of this church and he takes care of his body. So we're in his hands. We're planning to meet with all the ministry leaders and deacons this coming Thursday night. We do this at the start of every year, but obviously this announcement will be an important discussion point on that evening. So I encourage all those in leadership to make that meeting a priority, please. So you're up to speed now. We welcome your questions, though we may not be able to answer them all. One thing we do know is that God has led this church through many challenging times in its 104-year history, and that is not about to change. So that's the announcement that we wanted to make today. You're going to hear now from Marcus Herbert, and if you've journeyed with this church for a little while, you know that we're not a Lone Ranger church. We relate, we're integrated, we have friends and apostolic partnerships with people in other places. And one of the tremendously important voices in our midst has been Marcus from Cornerstone. And He would have done everything to get on a plane and be here today and to help be on the ground with us. But obviously coming from Johannesburg to New Zealand right now is a bit of a tricky one. So the best we can do outside today, we were going to have a video, but that wouldn't have helped you guys, is to hear from him. So I want to just hand the mic over to Marcus via a recording file that we've already got. And you'll hear from him. And then I want to invite Bruce, and he's going to come and speak to us as well.
Good morning, TVC, the Village Church. Dave has already introduced me, Marcus Herbert. I've visited several times, and it's an absolute pleasure to speak to you this morning. Obviously, the whole COVID thing has restricted the way we do things this morning, and so I'm audio only, but not ideal, but it is an opportunity for me to represent TBC's partnership with New Covenant Ministries as we go through this transition time. How does this partnership work? Every single local church has a relationship or should have a relationship with a translocal team. We're seeding scripture in Philippians chapter 1, and that relationship, that partnership is for the sake of the gospel. And so over the years, we've developed this partnership. Paul Zanardo is one of those that you work with, and then Bruce and the eldership through their relationships. Tyron has been there, and there are others that have come in. But I'm representing the team Running Point as we work through this transition. And I'm coming to show you something of what we're busy with and asking if you would please pray for us as we work into the future. So by now you've heard the news of the transition with which we are working. Bruce and Teresa, very emotional time, very difficult time, and definitely a season where they have stepped off leading the eldership team at TBC and then taking this next season, supported for several months by this local church, so that they can get strong again. Very important that they, that especially Bruce gets his health back together, and then as a couple, they kind of take time to rest and, you know, physically, emotionally, and spiritually get back to where they should be to take on the call of God. We know Bruce and Teresa have a voice in the nations, and we know that your gift makes room for you. So we're looking forward to the future of that. But for now, we're going to pray. We're going to support them. We're going to do whatever we can so that they can get strong again. Of course, this transition affects all at TVC. And the big issue is we need to find a new captain for the eldership team. So to help us understand the transition better, Joshua 3 for me is very helpful. We see the leadership of Israel pass from Moses to Joshua. And they go from one season to another. And every church will go through seasons. This is one of the big transitions. You've seen it before in the life of your church. And I want to encourage us with scripture to show you some of the key issues. The way forward in Joshua chapter 3 was following the Ark of the Covenant. Joshua spoke to the leaders spoke to the tribes. And it comes up a couple of times, the way forward is when you see the Ark of the Covenant move carried by the priests, that's what we follow. And so in this transition and every transition, we're looking for the will of God. We're following the presence of God, the leading of God. The second issue, there was good communication. And so we're wanting to communicate this without any, you know, kind of issues. We want to be open. We want to be honest. And at the same time, next week or this coming week on the 24th, we are going to have a leaders meeting where we'll discuss it and open it up to Q&A. A third issue that was important in this was unity. As a nation of tribes, as a church, we are trusting God for unity. There are two sites that TVC meets at, and we want to be united as we go through this. Very important. We all make an effort with this. And then Joshua said, the priests are going to stand in the water until the whole nation has passed through. So the transition should be good for all of us, and we trust in God that we'll all come through this into the new season God has. Yet the plans of God keep moving forward, the direction and his will and the purpose for TBC, a base church, this battleship in the water, an influence in the nation and the nations. That's the way forward. Obviously, consecration was also a key issue over them. Joshua, led by the Spirit, called for consecration. That means submit our hearts to God, open our hearts to God, let God have the rule and reign. They read the Word of God. In other words, have the right heart attitude. Very important that we have the right heart attitude through this process. And so the team leading through this transition are the elders and then myself, running point. But in consultation with Paul Zanardo, Tyron Daniel, we're looking for the new leader with much prayer and fasting. We've had several times of this, and you know, it's becoming clear the type of person is a couple with the capacity to take this church down the road, further into the journey that God has for you as a local church. And so there's a seriousness around this. There's a soberness around this. There's a big ask. There's a big job on our hands for this. So that is the team. I need to remind you, and I'm sure you would know it, is you have a very capable, anointed, and united eldership team. So they're going to pastor you through it. And along with the NCMI partnership, we're going to look for the right couple. This isn't about advertising. Let's look for the best candidate, or, you know, let's see who suits this. This is, what is your will? We want that more than anything. And then the encouragement to every single one of us is, please pray for, support, and encourage Bruce and Teresa as they go through a season of getting strong again, and then as they move into the new season that God has for them. They've built well. They've built personally. They've got true shepherd's hearts. And so this is a time where we pray for them, and we look to support them as they go through this next season. Not easy for them. They've done a great job. We love them. We love what their ministry all over the place has borne fruit. Now it's time for them to get strong again. And then pray for our way forward as a local church. Pray for TVC. Pray for the new leadership couple. And then this is an important one. If there are any questions, please speak to the elders. You know, don't suppose or surmise or speculate. It's so important that you come and chat to the elders, chat to the leaders, the deacons, so that you know, we can lead our way, we can go forward, being led of the Spirit, confident of the unity that God has already got. I love and appreciate you, and hope to visit later this year as COVID restrictions permit. Man, it's been a long time, but I do want to get there, do want to trust God that those doors would open. So we'll keep reporting back to the church as and when things become clear. I just encourage you, just let's celebrate what God is doing. Full confidence in the eldership team, in what they're doing. Sterling job at the moment, and they'll continue to do that. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the future of TVC. That what you have for them is an awesome future. What you have for Bruce and Teresa is an awesome future. And you know, nothing has caught you by surprise, so we trust you for that couple. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Pray for a blessing upon every single person here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys.
And isn't it good to be together? And I just want to commend just the staff, I think Carrie and Brennan particularly, and others that have just actually worked out the logistics of being able to do this. We've got a fantastic team. Big time. Give them a clap. It's cool. Those of you watching at home and other things, just too, you're a very big part of us. Ken and Eileen, Jack and Sarah, I know you're there somewhere. But also dear friends, Trevor and Jan Yaxley, Paul Cody over there in the Cook Islands, others around the world that are joining us in this moment. It's a privilege to be here. You know, you've heard about some changes in mine and Teresa's life, and Dave's right. It is a courageous step. But it's actually, we've done this before. This time I need some running repairs, but I think what I've realised is I've probably been running too fast to get the repairs that I needed. And so we'll take some time out and allow God to do what he needs to do. But it's a step of faith. You know, a few times I'm going to speak in a moment, because what changes for the village church is nothing. We're on course. There's a vision that God placed into the heart of who we are as a church, and we're going to continue to pursue it. One thing that happens as a church grows, and we have over the last 14 years, we've grown substantially numerically, we've grown substantially in the context of our footprint in this local community, but also around this nation and around the world. There's an intentionality that God has brought into the midst of who we are, and the intentionality is the fact that God has spoken to us, and we've been endeavoring to obey and to follow what God's saying. Nothing has changed regarding the vision and the direction that God's called this church to. You know, it's been our privilege for the last 14 years, and I suddenly figured out I've been leading in the life of this church longer than I have led anywhere else. I've been on the leadership of three different churches, 9 years in First Church, Presbyterian Church in Papakura, 12 years in the church we planted, and we led 14 years here. And it's been a privilege. It's also been a struggle. Why is the struggle? Because part of my gift mix is I am a visionary. That means I have a sense of the future. I have a sense of where God's wanting to take us. I do have an apostolic heart. I believe passionately in the life of a local church, in a local community. I believe in the leadership structure that God puts in place within a local faith community so that that church is healthy, it's growing, and it's got life to it and the wisdom of God running through it. And so as a visionary, I've discovered over the years there have been a number of things in my life that God has given me the privilege to pioneer. But as they say, you know, it's a funny saying, but sometimes the pioneers take the shots, take the hits, take the backlash. Ian Gavin showed me his legs this morning. How personal is that? Ian Gavin is a pioneer in maize growing, I reckon. He's a legend, an amazing guy. But he was running through a maize paddock, and he's got the lacerations to prove it because he was in there seeing what was happening. That man's a pioneer. The way that Gavin's is growing and that sort of stuff. And this is the type of the stature of the men that make up and the families that make up this church family. Helen Gavin was telling me in 1918, her grandfather started a little fellowship in one of these little school rooms just up here. That's the fellowship we stand in today. 102 years on, actually 104 years on, we ride on the shoulders of those that have gone before us. And different seasons and different moments, different people have had the privilege, but also probably the burden, and I feel both, of passing on a baton. And now it's your turn to run. It's interesting that Joshua was quoted and read. I didn't realize that was going to happen. And Geraldine, thanks for the way that you read that. I knew that Marcus had mentioned it because I'd already listened to his message. But it's, you know, Moses had the privilege of leading people out from where they were, out of actually captivity, and leading them through a wilderness time where actually they began to understand who they were. They began to understand that God didn't want them to be bound anymore, but to be free and alive in Him. God used Moses to lead them through a wilderness passage. And at different times, I think in the last 14 years, there's been some of those moments for us. But one of my biggest joys, I believe we've discovered who we are. I believe we're finding our fit and finding our rhythm. And it's my joy as someone with a visionary and a sense of the direction. I'm excited by what I'm feeling and what I'm hearing. Standing back now, listening to the eldership team and the hum and the buzz in the office. We've got a fantastic team of people. A few weeks ago, I watched on live stream as Teresa and I were still on holiday. And one of the things that's been stirred in my heart, I knew that God would gather leaders to us from other nations. God would gather leaders to us from around this nation. God would allow us to see leaders within our midst. And we'd be able to recognize them. We'd be able to actually give them opportunity and raise them up. And a few weeks ago, I was just stoked because young Liam Meesk, he actually comes out of Cornerstone for a season from Johannesburg, and so he's got a beautiful South African accent, but we are training him how to cheer for the All Blacks. It's fantastic. But young Liam Meesk was up here and leading the service with such passion and with such boldness. I met him in South Africa as a young man. I know his mum and dad, I know his brother, and we met together and we talked together about the dream stirring in their heart to come to New Zealand. We made room for him. Now he's full-time on staff, running our staff, overseeing our youth, and being able to stand up the front of this church and bring such leadership when we need it. And then his beautiful wife, Alana. I think I met her when she was about 12. thereabouts in Adelaide in South Australia. And her dad, Darren, is such a good friend of mine. And we've done life together. We've grown up together. But that young woman, even at 12 years of age, you saw the leadership gift on her life. You saw the substance of what God was doing. And God in his wisdom brought a little South African guy and a beautiful South Australian girl together and placed them into the midst of who we are as a church. She stood up and prayed like Dave did just before, prayed for our nation with such purpose and passion. So I'm watching this at home in our little house, and I got tears coming down my eyes. South African leader established in this place on staff. Alana leading us in prayer. And then Brennan, the Canadian, Aussie. The Canadian got up and preached with such purpose and passion. And all three of those people are on staff now in this season, leading within the life of our church. One of the most dynamic people we met when we first arrived here, and just straight away recognized the anointing and the gift of God on his life and on their life as a couple. This outstanding. I mean, I've traveled the world and I've sat in all sorts of situations. I've been to Bible colleges. I've been all sorts of things. And I want to tell you, Dave Campbell is one of the best expository Bible teachers I've ever met in my life. And out of the ground and out of the God's raised up that man, not only with a voice for us, but a voice for the nations. And it's been my joy to watch a preaching team established within the life of this church, because we recognize leadership. We recognize gifting on people's lives, and God brings them through. Isn't that exciting? We have fantastic Bible teaching in the life of this church. And it's because we've made room for it. We honor the word of God, and people like Dave Campbell keep us on track. So quite often I've come up with a sense of the series, what we need to teach into, throw the hospital pastor Dave, he sits back and figures out, okay, how do we do this series? Tuesday morning, one of the best meetings I think I've ever got to go to for, you know, we had breakfast together with a preaching team and what's come out of it. There's an intentionality here. And as we have grown over the last 14 years, another understanding I've had to allow for is there's such a thing as size culture. A church of 100 people actually do life very differently from a church of hundreds and hundreds of people. There's 300 people gathered in here today. There's hundreds of others watching from around the place. We're a large church now. And there's a size cultural element that comes to it. And what's happened, and when Dave read before, that none of the current eldership on the staff, and with the caliber and the leadership that sits on their life, don't feel called to step into my shoes, it's because of size culture. And it's because of specialization of gifting. Brennan and Carrie bring administration and leadership into all sorts of stuff. But I have, again, this privilege of watching this pastor. If you want to know anyone's name in the life of this church, go and talk to Brennan Lanigan. It's incredible. You go and talk to Brennan, and he not only tell people's names. I have the gift of renaming people. Part of what I've been struggling health-wise is memory loss. And so I have this gift of renaming people, and I feel very important about that. Because, you know, a dude in the Bible had the privilege of naming people at the first place, you know, and animals and all that sort of stuff. No, it doesn't work. So if your name's James and I've called you Grant, and if your name's Sarah and I've called you Sue, or you're Christine and I've called you Catherine, sorry. Nothing personal. But Brennan Lanigan knows your name. He knows how many children you've got. He knows what's there. What a gift, a pastoral gift that sits on their life. It's amazing. Teaching gift that sits on Dave Campbell. An administrative leadership gift that's sitting on Liam. And you see it coming through. The caliber of Brent Houghton on our leadership, and the leadership he's been able to bring in the marketplace, but the understanding he brings to the context of our team. We don't have Wallies in here, ladies and gentlemen, and if your name's Wallace, I'm sorry, but we don't have Wallies in the sense of the makeup of our eldership team. We have this amazing group of people that God's fitted together. And Phil Whitechurch, what an outstanding man he is. Phil and Wendy, and the heart they carry for nations and for years going into places like Uganda, and the heart they have for missions, and the understanding they have of being a local church with an apostolic view of what's happening around the world. This is God working intentionally into our midst. Nothing changes because I get to hand over the baton. But as we've got bigger, we've needed to specialize in roles. I'm a visionary pioneer. That's who I am. I have crazy ideas, and some of them are absolutely God ideas, and some of them are just the result of too much pizza. But God, in his wisdom and in his wonderful ways, has used Teresa and I over years to pioneer and start things, all to bring transformation and change. And we've had the privilege for 14 years coming into this place, picking up God's heartbeat, seeing the wealth that is in our history, and finding the excitement that's in our future. Recognizing the wealth of what's in our midst around the people that stand here and see the wisdom and the wonder of God fitting it together. I make no apologies for that. Yeah, I've got weary in doing good. I've got tired, and there were some aspects of how I've managed myself I need to learn. But, you know, God spoke to me just within the last year very clearly into my heart, and I felt like the Lord just said to me, you know, Bruce, it's taken me your lifetime to get you ready for this, so don't muck it up. There's a call of God that maintains on mine and Teresa's life. I don't know what it is. All I can relate it to is when I was still a dairy farmer and I found myself on my knees in a muddy race one evening. No raincoat. There's a story behind that. And it's raining and I'm on my knees in this track and I'm milking cows, running a big farm in Galatea. And I just, all of a sudden, I knew my season of a farmer was up. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was a single guy, and I'm thinking, I've got this contract I need to sign, and I knew I couldn't sign it, so I didn't. And within a very short time, and just following the leading of God, I'm on staff at First Presbyterian Church. And for 9 wonderful years, I served under the leadership of John Bolshan. What a godly man. Man that recognized leadership on me, made room for me. And then, you know, we were in full noise, man. We were going for it. God was giving me vision for the town and the city I was a part of. We were just charging. And I loved it, serving under another man's leadership team. You know, it's really, really awesome when somebody else has taken the shots, because you can make all the noise and they have to actually put up with, you know. And he just made so much room for me. It was wonderful. And Trev Yaxley, you're watching on, your hound. I love you, mate. We had a family camp. It was packed. Whole lot of people. It was awesome. And the Spirit of God was moving on this Presbyterian church, and we're having a wonderful time, and we invited Trevor and Jan Yaxley as speakers. And in the midst of God moving in that moment, Trevor prophesies over me. You're leaving. What? And he recognized within me God had already put in my heart the vision to plant a new church, but with a different aspect and going after a different Democrat group in the community. You know, in full noise, God interrupted my life and I had to let go again, because I want to be obedient to where God wants to lead me. And then in full noise at the gate 12 years later or 10 years later, who arrives on my doorstep? Murray and Jan Harding and Ian and Helen Gavin. God bless them. Seriously. And they came because on their heart, as they prayed and fasted about the leadership of this church, I was the name that came to mind. This church has been here before. Somebody beyond the ranks of this community, God wanted to bring in with a gift for the moment and for the season. And that was my turn. They drove away thinking, oh my goodness, I think God might be in this. Teresa and I sat looking at us and said, what was that all about? God got our hearts. We realize too, it's funny, you know, in seasons you realize if God is wanting you to do that, well then I need to bring adjustment to this. And I realized I needed to build a way for myself at the gate and enable God to bring the right people through. Paul and Tanya Cody watching in the Cook Islands was the outcome of that. Now they're leading church in the Cook Islands and having input into their lives. I met Paul when he was 15 or 16 years old. I love the way God builds people together and raises people up. Some of you have been gathered into us in recent times. Some of you have come from other churches, maybe because there hasn't been gathering points, or maybe you haven't found your rhythm there. I just want to encourage you, do not be here just randomly. Be here intentionally. I'm going to leave that bottle on the ground. The call of God on this church hasn't changed. You know, our vision is just simply to worship God together. Worship with our voices. Worship with our gathering. Worship with our lives. We want to just say, God, we want you to be honored and glorified in our life. That's our vision. We want to love people as God loves them. So I want to learn from people like Brennan and Carrie. And we want to make disciples to change the world. It's not just making disciples that understand stuff about the Bible. We want to make disciples to change the world. I'm going longer than I should. Is this okay? Are you with me? Bear with me. I'm only going to preach a few more times and then I'm out of here. So Liam reminded us last week that, you know, under the vision is we know that we're called to gather together around Jesus. We really are. And he spoke so well into that. We're called to grow up in him. And I, Dave, and the other preaching team are going to speak more about what that looks like. And we're called to go and do what he asks us to do. Friends, we are not called to a passive faith. We're called to an obedient one. And that's the greatest act of worship that we can give our living God, is obedience to the things that we've noted that we had to do. It's a step of obedience for Teresa and I right now to let go and let God. I have no idea what we're going to do beyond the 31st of March, except have a bit more time to get healed. And as a visionary, I have no idea what's happening beyond. The vision for this place permeates within my being. But here's a scripture, and you've heard me say this over and over and over again. You've been at leadership development times. You've been hearing me when I preach about the church, wherever you are. You've heard me say this before, but Ephesians 4:16 from the Living Translation says this. He, Jesus, the one we want to gather around. He, Jesus, the one we want to grow up into. He's the head of the church. He is the head of this church. And he said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Bring it on. So that's the he we're talking about. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. You've heard me say this before. And if you haven't, open your ears. Hear it now. This is the word of God. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. It's talking to you. We're not into gathering a crowd. We are in to seeing God form and fashion and make a body. Make an army. Express a representation of who he is, like the staff elders, different gifts, different expressions, one Lord and Savior, but what we're able to achieve together is phenomenal. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, and as each part does its own special work. Yep, we've got unique things to do, but not like skyrockets, friends. Like a lighthouse. Each part does its own special work. I love this. It helps the other parts grow. You know what our nation needs a good kick in the backside about? Individualism. Independence. Me and my. We've got to learn how to do community. We've got to learn how to live well together. We need to learn how to bring the best out of each other. And that doesn't mean the whole nation is marred with that, but I think individualism drives, and it can permeate into the church. God's calling us to be intentionally fitted together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, it's going to help the other parts grow. You know, Ian and Helen Gavin have helped me grow. Brent sent me a text the other day, and he said, thanks, bro. You've sort of my language, but he was implying that I'd helped him in his walk, faith, in a walk of faith. Phil said to me just not that long ago on our eldership, man, you've helped me understand eldership. We've helped each other. Speaking into Dave Campbell and encouraging him with his teaching gift, it's helped him grow, but he's also helped us grow. Know your place, take your place. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Our world needs a healthy, growing, loving local church. We want to be that. It takes intentionality. It takes being willing to be fitted together. And I'm coming into a close, I promise. God calls us to unity. Ephesians 4 starts off by talking about living in unity. Therefore, I am a prisoner for serving the Lord. Beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. Village Church, we're called by God. We're going to have a season of change, Teresa and I. We're going to have a season to figure out where we fit going forward. But if we had a choice, ongoing choice, living, I wouldn't want to be at any other church than this one. Because I know what's gone in to build the foundation. I know the faithfulness of those who've carried before us. And I know what we've done in the last 14 years. And we've seen health. We've seen growth. And we've experienced love. Lord, bring it on. I'm coming in and I'm landing here. If I was going to remain here, it would already worked in a way to allow me to stay in my lane. And that's probably more in leadership recognition and development. And there's obviously, as Marcus pointed out, there's a lot of stuff we've done around the nations. And we still do have lots of open doors. But right now, I've got to let it go. And I'm going to let God. Like I did in that muddy race, when I got on my knees and I said to God, Lord, whatever it is that you want to do, do it. Wherever it is you want to take me, take me. And he did, and he has, and he will. So friends, it's a privilege to have led. It's a privilege to have been able to stand in front of you today. It's wonderful that I haven't blubbered my eyes out as we've gone through it, because there's been a few tears leading up to this moment. But God told me this morning when I got up and had my quiet time, he says, hit with a straight bat and lead into this moment. That's what I'm doing. Church, nothing changes. There's someone that God's raised up and is raising up to bring in here to become part of this team that God's taking it forward. They have a skill, they have a heartbeat that will complement what's already here. But together, this church has got a call of God on its life. We will plant more churches. We will send more leaders. We will engage meaningfully in more communities, because that's what God's asked us to do. So friends, it's my privilege to been able to stand before you. Don't worry about that song we're going to play. We've run out of time. But I'm going to hand back to Dave, and we'll bring closure to this. But before we do it, do you want to stand with me? I'd just love to pray for us. Here we are in our bubbles, Lord. But I thank you, God, that even in the bubble, God, you connect us together by heart. I want to pray and ask in Jesus' name for a miracle that the village church would have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to it in this season. I pray that our decision doesn't become a distraction from the decisions this church has already made and for the life you've already called them to. Father, build your church and make it strong. Let the light that you've called to shine out of this place shine brighter and brighter and brighter. And I pray the individual living stones that are gathered here, fit them together perfectly, O God. Help them bring the best out in each other and say to our world, our Savior lives. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.